Hi, good morning. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Nun Aleph. We had to leave off a little bit early yesterday on account of the truncated shiur, so we left off in the middle of Nun Amabez. Today we're going to continue with a discussion of the Mishnah that we started a couple of days ago about, if one is noder from various types of tafshil, what types of foods are usur, what types of foods are mutter, and we are then going to learn a couple of really fantastic stories about the interaction between Rabbi Yehuda and Bar Kappara, which are really, really interesting about the different approaches to life that Rabbi Yehuda and Bar Kappara espoused, and the different approaches that each implemented in his own method as to how he should act and whether a person should be more happy or more serious. And very, very interesting, very, very interesting stories. And then at the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph and continuing on to Nun Aleph Amud Beis, we'll have a series of Mishnayos, again focusing on by Nedarim Hochem Machar Lashon Bnei Adam, what types of foods are picked up and what types of Nedarim and what types of foods are excluded, how different nuances and language of the Neder could bring different types of foods within the purview of the Neder. So today's shiur, I should mention, is once again sponsored anonymously, L'Zchus Refuah Shleimah for Liana Merrill, Bas Gabriela Rachel. We hope that the learning and the shiur will be a zchus for a speedy and complete refuah. We thank the sponsors very, very much. So again, picking up on Nun Amud Beis, right in the middle of the Amud, the two dots that said, Amutzer Bebeitzer Termita. So this goes back on the Mishnah, where we said that if a person says konem tavshil she'eni toem, if a person takes a nether that he's not able to eat a tavshil, so aser b'maiser k'deira rach, so we said that he's not allowed to eat something that's saucy umutar ba'ava, but he's allowed to eat something that's thick umutar b'beitza termuta, and he's allowed to eat a beitza termuta of dlas hamarutza, and also this dlas haramutza. We'll see in the Gemara what that is. And first we'll see in the Gemara what exactly the Beitza Termuta is, but the principle was that if a person is noder from a tavshil, then he's noder only from things which are eaten with bread. So what's eaten with bread? Something that's saucy or that's a little bit runny is eaten with bread. Something that's thick would not be eaten with bread because it already has the qualities and some of the characteristics of bread. So we had said that a mutter, the Beitza Termuta, so says the Gemara, so my Beitza Termuta, what's Beitza Termuta? So Amar Shmuel, Avda the Avid lay Shavi Alpha Dinray, it's this little egg that costs 1,000 dinar. Uma Ayala Alpha Zimni Bamaya Khamimi Valpha Zimni Bamaya Kariri. You would dip it 1,000 times into warm water and another 1,000 times into cold water. Ad Dimis Zutra, until it shrinks. And why would you do this until it shrinks? Kihechi Deval Isa, so that you could swallow it. Vim Is Kiva. And if he has a certain illness, if he's afflicted with a certain illness, then srich Allah, then the residue of whatever bacteria or whatever illness is causing this person pain would attach to the egg, the kad nafka, and then if a person ingests something solid, what's going to happen is he's going to excrete that solid thing. So the egg, which is now really, really tiny, which he swallowed, is now going to be excreted whole, but now when he releases it, it's going to be covered with the residue of whatever illness the person has. Now, what benefit is that? So then, va'asya yada asya, and then the doctor will know, my sama misboile, umay mitse, what medicine the guy needs, and how the guy can be healed. Because by swallowing this beitza termita, The doctor is going to know what illness, and obviously the first step in treating a patient is knowing what ailment the patient is suffering from. So that's why this beitza termita is so important, and that's why it's so expensive, with this elaborate procedure for preparing it. Shmuel havi badik nafshei bekulcha. Shmuel would check himself with the head of a cabbage. So what does it mean that Shmuel would check himself with the head of a cabbage? So in other words, Shmuel wanted to use this method to find out what was ailing him so that the doctors would know how to treat him, but he was unable to perform this this preparation properly for the Beitza Termita, so he needed some other type of food. So he would use the head of a cabbage, but again, same idea. He would ingest it and hope that the illness would attach to the head of the cabbage, and then he would excrete it. But it was much more painful than the process with the Beitza Termita, because the Beitza Termita was like a little tiny egg. It was like a pill that you would swallow, and then it would just pass right through you. So what would happen? Sa'ad demistarin in shei beise alei asirayin. And it was so painful, this whole process of checking himself and trying to isolate which illness he was suffering from with the head of a cabbage, that the people in his household would unbraid their hair while he was undergoing this process. And the Ron explains that they would unbraid their hair because they were so pained watching Shmuel sit in excruciating pain while he was checking himself with his head of a cabbage, that they would just be moved to unbraid their hair. So obviously the better way, the easier way, is to, and the less painful way, is to check yourself with a Beitza Termita. So, Tanan Hasam, Hayosa Bichlufsin, if workers were Eilish, so let's back up, just Bederach Chachtama, if somebody is working in a field, then the worker is entitled to take from the food that he's working with. But he's not allowed to take from other types because it's assumed that the balabas is permitting him to eat a little bit, to take a little bit of food from that which he's working on. But if he's working on a certain type of field, or if he's working on a certain fruit that grows in a field, then he can't necessarily eat from another type of fruit, because the balabas never intends for the worker to be able to eat from anything other than that which he's working on directly. So Tanana Samayosa Bichlufsin, if the worker was working with a certain type of fig, Lo Yochal Bibno Sheva, he's not able to eat the Bibno Sheva, he's not able to eat a different type of fig. Bibno Sheva, if he's working with this type of fig, Lo Yochal Bichlufsin, he's not allowed to eat with another type of fig. So says the Gemara, my Chlufsin, what's Chlufsin? Samina Detaini Davnin Minhon Lifti. It's a certain type of fig that they would make from it a certain cooked fig dish. So who gavra? Tiyav avdal chavrei. There was a person who sent his eved to someone lagmure alpha mine lifti so that the eved could learn how to make 1,000 types of this cooked fig dish, and agmure tamni meya. And then the person, instead of teaching the eved how to make 1,000 types of this cooked fig dish, only taught him how to make 800 types of the cooked fig dish. And Azmine Lidine Lekame de Rebbe. And so the person who sent the Eved over to the other guy to teach him how to make 1,000 types of the cooked fig dish summoned the other guy to a Din Torah, because he said, I paid you to teach my Eved to make 1,000 types of the dish. You only taught him how to make 800 types of the dish, so you ripped me off. So Rebbe got this Din Torah, and Rebbe was beside himself that somebody would sue over this, and just the level of opulence that somebody wanted his Eved to learn and to make 1,000 types of any dish, and not only that, but then was upset when the Eved didn't learn 1,000 types, but only learned 800 types. So Rebbe was flabbergasted with this. So Rebbe, Avosenu Amru, Nashinu Tova, that our forefathers said that we have forgotten luxury, but Anu Afilu Beinenu Lo Reinu. We never even saw this type of extravagance. And the Ron points out, the irony is that Rebbe was among the most wealthy people in his generation, but even Rebbe was flabbergasted by this level of extravagance that this guy was demonstrating. So then we'll see, Rebbe, generally speaking, conducted himself, and Rebbe lived his life in a very, very simple and a very, very austere manner, without a lot of excess and without a lot of extravagance, even though he was very, very wealthy, because Rebbe's approach to life was one of austerity and seriousness in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara is then going to segue into a couple of very interesting stories. So Rebbe Avad Hilula L'Rav Shimon B'Rebbe. So Rebbe made a wedding party for Rav Shimon, his son. So Kosav and Rebbe did not invite, the background is Rebbe did not invite Bar Kapara to the wedding. So Rebbe and Bar Kapara were sort of contemporaries, although Bar Kapara may have been a Talmud of Rebbe. But either way, Bar Kapara was one of the great Chachamim of that generation, and he wasn't invited to Rebbe's kid's wedding. So Bar Kapara was offended. So Kasav al Beis Gnana. So Bar Kapara went and wrote the following graffiti on the wedding hall. So this is the way he expressed his chagrin that he wasn't invited. So Esrin va'arba lufin rivon dinarim, 240 million dinar nafku al beis ganana. Albeis Kanana Din were spent on this wedding hall. Velo Azmine Labar Kapara. Nevertheless, Bar Kapara was not invited to the wedding. So the Mepharshim point out that this number here, the 240 million number, is probably a number that has some certain mystical significance, but is probably not historically accurate, because if it were historically accurate, the 240 million dinar would be about $25 million. So even by today's standards and without the good protocols and everything, that's a very, very expensive wedding. But Rebbe was also a very, very rich man, so you never know. But the point was, he spent so much money and invited so many people, and he didn't invite Bar Kapara. Why didn't he invite Bar Kapara? What was the issue? So the Ran says that Bar Kapara, as we'll see, was a very, very jocular person. He was very, very jokey. And Rebbe did not like to laugh. And we'll see also, Rebbe felt that if he would ever laugh, then it would cause destruction to his entire generation, because Rebbe felt that he bore the burden of the entire generation on his shoulders, and he was in a position where he was unable to lose focus for even a single moment. So he thought that if he would invite Bar Kapara to the wedding, Bar Kapara is going to make him laugh, and we'll see actually Bar Kapara did make him laugh, because in the end Bar Kapara finagled an invitation, and Rebbe was afraid of what would happen if Bar Kapara would make him laugh. So anyway, so this is what Bar Kapara did. So Amar Lei, so Bar Kapara said to Rebbe, Im lo'ovrei ritzono kach, lo'osei ritzono alachas kama v'kama. If such is the reward for Ovre Ritzono, then certainly imagine what the reward would be for Ose Ritzono. So the Ran says again, what's Bar Kapara telling Rebbe? So the Ran says Bar Kapara was sort of chiding Rebbe for not inviting him. He was saying that by not inviting Bar Kapara, Rebbe was being Ovre Ritzono. And if the Ovre Ritzono, if those who go against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu have such amazing wealth that they're able to make such a gargantuan, such an elaborate wedding, imagine what you'd be able to do if you were Ose Ritzono, in other words, if you were invited Bar Kapara. So if you were invited Bar Kapara. Others explain, no, what this actually means is that if among those who you invited were Ovrei Ritzono, because Rebbe, again, was the leader of his generation, so Mestama, when he made a wedding for his son, he invited all sorts of dignitaries, even foreign dignitaries and non-Jewish dignitaries, people who are literally Ovrei Ritzono. It wasn't a reference to Rebbe, but it was a reference to the other people who were invited. In other words, Bar Kapara is saying to Rebbe, look at your guest list. You invited all sorts of Gaiusha leaders and stuff, but you couldn't find it in yourself to invite me. So then Rebbe said, you know what? You're right, I should invite you. So he sent him an invitation. So Amar la osir ritzono balamazeh kach le'ilam haba alachas kama v'kama. Now Bar Kapara unambiguously flipped his cryptic comment into a bracha and said, if this is the reward for osir ritzono and olam hazeh, that they're blessed with such amazing wealth that they can make such an extravagant wedding, imagine what the reward for osir ritzono is going to be in olam haba. So Yoma de Mechayich Bei Rebbe, says the Gemara again, three lines down now from the bottom on Nun Amud Beis. So Yom HaDemechayich Bei Rebbe, a day on which Rebbe would laugh, Asya Paranusa La'alma. A Parana is a great punishment would come to the world. And again, because Rebbe was the leader of his generation, and he accepted suffering on himself to atone for all of the averos of his generation. So a person who's doing tshuva, a person who's serving as the atonement for all the generation, has to be a very, very serious person. And if Rebbe was afraid that if he would ever laugh, if he ever would experience a moment of levity, that might cause a catastrophe for the people of his generation. Zarmalei lebar kapara, say Rebbe said to Bar Kapara, lo tavdichan, if you don't make me laugh, v'yavina lecha arbon gerurei chiti, I will give you 40 measures of wheat. So in other words, literally, Rebbe paid Bar Kapara not to make him laugh. So Amar Lei, Lichzeimar, Dechol Garina, Debeina, Shakilna. You'll see, Rebbe, that whatever measure of wheat I want, I could take. What does that mean? So let's remember that line for a second. So Shakal Dikula Rabba, so Bar Kapara took a large basket. Chafya kufra, he coated it with pitch. So why would you coat a basket with pitch? You would coat a basket with pitch because a basket was woven, and he was dealing with measures of wheat. So you would want to make sure, if you're collecting the wheat, to coat the basket with some sort of liner to make sure that none of the wheat is going to fall out of the holes in the basket. So he coated the basket with pitch. V'safchal reshe, and then he put the basket upside down on his head. And he put the basket upside down on his head. V'yazel v'yamar lei lecha limar arbon gerurei chite derashnebach. I've come to collect the 40 measures of wheat that you owe me. So what was the joke here? So the Ron says, well, two possibilities as to what the joke was. One possibility was, here the guy wanted to collect 40 measures of wheat. So he took a very big basket and then went to the lengths of coating the interior of the basket with pitch, everything to make sure that not even a single kernel of wheat would fall through. And then what did Bar Kapara do? He inverted the basket, so he turned it on its head. So you have a big basket, you want to collect your 40 measures of wheat, and then you turn it on its head where it can't collect anything. So that was the joke. It was ironic. In other words, it was silly, but it was done intended. It was intended to be humorous. The Ron says another possibility. Well, the joke was, we said that Bar Kapara did this to the basket, and then what did he do? He put the basket on his head. So a guy shows up to Rebbe, but he doesn't know it's Bar Kapara until he talks, because he didn't see him, he recognized his voice only, and he shows up to Rebbe's house wearing a basket on his head, which also looks pretty silly, which can make somebody laugh, if you're into that type of humor. So Bar Kapara did this, and Rebbe laughed. Summer lay, lava zartich de lotid bachin. Did I not warn you not to make me laugh? Summer lay, chiti de rashna kanasiva. I'm just coming to claim the wheat that you. I'm just coming to claim the wheat that you owe me. So basically, first of all, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar explains what's Bar Kapara doing here. So he's making a fool out of himself with a basket. I mean, whether you learn that he did this weird thing with a basket, that he just turned it over so that Rebbe would appreciate the irony, or certainly if he put the basket on top of his head, what exactly is he doing? So Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar explains that Bar Kapara thought that Rebbe would be able to learn even more and amass an even greater Torah knowledge if he were happy, because we know that a person is more in tune to, or is more likely to pick up Torah knowledge and to connect with Torah out of gladness as opposed to out of sadness. When we're sad, we're not allowed to study Torah. Tisha B'Av, for example, if a person's an Aval, Rachman al Sadi, he's not allowed to study Torah. Torah should be learned out of happiness. And so Bar Kapara thought Rebbe was such a serious person, it was impairing his ability to learn Torah. So he wanted to make him happy. But what did Bar Kapara say? Avir Bar Kapara said, Chiti Darshina Kanasivna, I've come to collect the wheat that you owe me. What wheat did Rebbe owe him? Rebbe owed him nothing, because Rebbe said, I'm going to pay you if you don't make me laugh. And the Bar Kapara made him laugh. So the Mefarshim explain, that's why he inverted the basket. He came with a big basket that was turned on its head. The basket, when it's turned on its head, can't collect any wheat. So he said, I've come with a kli that's appropriate for collecting what you owe me, because you owe me nothing. You paid me to not make you laugh, and I made you laugh. Why'd I do this even though I knew I would forsake my payment? Because I thought I'd be bringing you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I thought I'd be bringing you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and more able, susceptible to learning Torah by making you happy. Okay, so says the Gemara now, another very, very interesting story, what happened between Rebbe and Bar Kapara. So, Amar Le Bar Kapara Labarte, the Rebbe. So, Bar Kapara said to Rebbe's daughter, Lamachar, tomorrow, Shasinu Chamra, Berikuda Davucha, Uva Kirkani de Imach. Tomorrow, in other words, at this wedding that Bar Kapara initially was not invited to and then was invited to, he was on the B list. So I will drink wine while your father is dancing and your mother is singing. So, and your mother is singing at the wedding. So the Ron says, Bepashtus, it means Zimra, it means singing. But how could it be singing? Otherwise, then it would be Kolisha, right? If Rebbe's wife would be singing in front of Bar Kapara. So the Ben Yoyada explains that this doesn't really mean singing. It's no vocalization. It means that Sephardi high-pitched thing that the women still do at weddings, which is not considered to be Kolisha because it's not, they're not singing. They're just making some sort of strange sound with their voices. The Mefarish explains, Rashi over here, the Mefarish, masquerading as Rashi, says it doesn't mean singing, it means meziga, it means to pour. And we'll see in the story, actually, that Rebbe's wife poured Bar Kapara a cup of wine, so it doesn't mean singing at all, and therefore there's no problem, certainly no problem of Kalisha with Rebbe's wife pouring a cup of wine for Bar Kapara. So, Ben El Shah, So Ben Elshoa Chasne de Rebbe Havet, he was the son-in-law of Rebbe, the Usher Gadol Haya, and he was a big and he was a very, very wealthy person. So we'll see in a couple of lines what Ben Elshoa has to do with this whole story. So Azmanei Hilula de Reb Shimon Rebbe. So Bar Kapara was invited, and Ben Elshoa obviously as a family member were invited to the wedding party of Reb Shimon Berebi, Reb Shimon the son of Rebbe. So Amalei Bar Kapara le Rebbe. So Bar Kapara said to Rebbe at the wedding, "My Toeva." What does it mean, Toeva? And so if you look on the side here by the Torah Or, so it's talking about the pasuk of Mishkav Zachar. It says, V'isha sher yishkav ha-zachar mishkav ha-isha, to'eva asu shneim, mosu yumasu d'meyam bam. So what does it mean when it says to'eva in the pasuk? So kol diyamar le Rebbe dahachin hu to'eva parcha bakapara. Whatever answer Rebbe had as to why the pasuk uses the word to'eva to describe Mishkav Zachar, Bar Kapara would refute. So Amar Lei Parshiyat. So Rebbe said to Bar Kapara, "Okay, so you tell me what it means." Amar Lei Tesi Debisu Tirmi Tirmili. Have your wife come and pour me a drink. So Not Laasis Rami Lei. So his wife came and poured him a drink. So Amar Lei LeRebbe Kumra Kodli. And then he said to Rebbe, "Okay, now do a dance for me." Deimar Lecha Hachi Amar Rachmana. And then Rebbe danced for him. And then he said, "Okay, so this is why the Torah said Hachi Amar Rachmana Toeva." Toe ataba, because you are straying from the regular order of the world. The regular order of the world is a person has relations with a man has relations with a woman, not with somebody of his same gender. So it's toe, you're straying from what is normal, straying from what God intended in this world, Supreme Court notwithstanding. So lakasa achrina for another cup. So Bar Kapara had one cup of wine because he put Rebbe through the paces, right? And here we see that Rebbe's wife actually mixed him the cup of wine. So Lakosa Achrina, to get another cup of wine, so Bar Kapara said, Amarle my tevel. What does it mean, tevel? Again, if you look on the side, it's another pasuk dealing with znus. It says, this is about Mishka Behema. It says, V'chol Behema lo sitin shchavtcha latam abav, v'isha latam od lefnei Behema l'riva, tevel hu. It's tevel. So over here, we use another lashon to teach us that it's disgusting. So Amarle Kinyana Kadma. So we have the same repetition of the same story. Rebbe gave him a bunch of answers. Bar Kapara refuted everything. Bar Kapara said, Rebbe said, "Why don't you tell me?" Bar Kapara said, "I'm only going to tell you if your wife pours me a cup to drink and you dance for me." So Amar Lei, Evidli D'Amar Lecha, do all these things for me, so I'll tell you. So Avadi did all these things, and Amar Lei said to him, Tevel Hu, it's called Tevel because Tavlin Yeshba. So is there some certain spice or certain attraction to this type of bia? Do you get any hana from this type of bia? Mi shanya hada bia min kula bios? That basically is there any sort of attraction or pleasure that you get from this bia that a woman couldn't get from a regular bia with a man? No, so it's disgusting and it defies logic that a person would actually do this. So that's why it uses the lashon of tevel. So Amar Lei, umay zima. What does it mean when it says zima? And again, if you look on the side by Oz Gimel, it says al techalal es bitcha laznosa. Do not make your daughter into a harlot. Losizne haaretz umol aretz zima. So Amar Lei, avid ki inyana kadma. Avid v'Amar Lei zu mahi. It means zima means is an acronym for zu mahi. That because if a person is a zona and doesn't know who she's having relations with, it's difficult to figure out who the father of the child is going to be. Zumahi, because she's with so many men, it's going to be impossible to figure out the paternity. So the Mefarshim explain that Bar Kapara was analyzing all of these psukim dealing with the parshios of znus and illicit relations, because a wedding is a time obviously when you're happy and you know people are drinking and levity can often lead to inappropriate behavior. But Bar Kapara was trying to ground everything by referencing everything back to these psukim to show even though we're happy, we still have to be careful about all of these yisurei znus and yisurei, these various abiyas asuros, and we just have to be careful here not to get out of control. So la yachol ben elshal lemisval. Ben elshal cannot tolerate the paces that Bar Kappara was putting Rebbe through over here. Kam v'nafak, hu v'insei. So he and his wife stood up, and they left the wedding indignantly. So mitaman. So he couldn't handle it, he just left the wedding. So my ben Elsha, what's the godless of ben Elsha? What's the deal with him? D'tanya, lo nechinam pizar ben Elsha asmosav. That ben Elsha did not spend his money for naught on his fancy haircuts. Because he apparently spent a lot of money to learn how to take a haircut that the Gemara is going to describe, and also he used to spend a lot of money on a periodic basis to get these haircuts. El Laharo spent his Sporish El Kohen Gadol. Ben Elsha was just trying to model the haircut that the Kohen Gadol used to get. To Chsiv, Chsom Yichsimu Es Rosheyem. And what does it mean? Tana Kein Lulinas. It's like a Lulinas haircut. And what's Lulinas? My Lulinas, I'm Rav Yehuda, Tisparta Yichida, a very singular and a very unique haircut. So now you've used three ways to interpret a haircut to explain to me a haircut. I don't even know what it means. Say Chedami. So what type of haircut is the singular, unique haircut, the Lulinas haircut, the haircut of the Kohen Gadol? So Marava Rosho Solzeh Betzadi Kora Solzeh. It was a very, very precise haircut where the end of one hair would meet the beginning of another hair. So in other words, it was a very, very short, but also very, very precise haircut. This is the sporus of the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara is just telling us, Rebbe, we said, was a very, very rich guy. So a son-in-law married into the family was Mustama, a very, very rich guy. So we see elsewhere in the Gemara that he spent a lot of money to learn how to give this type of haircut. And what the Gemara here is telling us, don't think that the guy was just a rich, you know, spoiled guy who inherited a lot of money from his father-in-law, who didn't have to work in a day in his life. He had noble intentions when he learned how to do this haircut, because he was modeling the haircut of the Kohen Gadol. All right, good. Says the Gemara Vayter, just finishing up until the last piece before the Mishnah, it says, Ubudlasa Marutza, another thing that we said you were allowed to eat if you take a neder from Tavshil, you're allowed to eat Dlasa Marutza. So my Dlasa Haramutza, what is Dlasa Haramutza? So Mer Shmuel Kra Karkuzoi. It's a cabbage, it's a gourd from the name, from a place called Karkuzoi. Ravashi Yamar Dlasa Tmuna Beremetz. It's a gourd that's prepared by being placed in hot ashes. So Eitzvi Ravina Ravashi, it's Ravina Sakashra Ravashi. So Rav Nechemi Omar Dlasa Ramis, who Dlasa, he Dlasa Mitzris. Dlasa Ramis is Dlasa Mitzris, but it's Kalayim in a Yavanis. But it's Kalayim if it's grown with Dlas Yavanis, because that's considered to be a different min. And Kalayim in a Ramutza. And it's Kalayim also with Dlas Ramutza. So we see, obviously, that the Dlas Ramutza is a different species of gourd. It's not simply a gourd that's prepared through a special means. So therefore, Ravina said, I hold that Dlas Ramutza is Dlas that comes from this place called Ramutza. That could be a special and a separate species of gourd from other species of gourd. But you, Ravashi, will hold that it's Dlas that's prepared by placing it in hot ashes. It's not a separate species of gourd, so why would it be Kalayim? So to Yufta, you're right, so says the Gemara, we leave it as a Kasha. Good. So now the Mishnah is just going to repeat what we had at the end of the prior Mishnah. Unclear why it repeats it, but I know demi maaser kedera. If a person takes another from maaser kedera, ain usser elami maaser retachta. He's only usser from something that's boiled, because that's maaser kedera, something that goes into a pot is something that's boiled. So amar konem hayored liktera shani toim. If he broadens the language of the nether and says not only mi maaser kedera but hayored liktera, then usser b'chala nasa b'kedera. Then he's usser not only in things that are boiled but also anything that goes into a kedera. Because he used the more expansive, the broader lashon over here. So Tanya says the Gemara like this: Hanoder min ayored l'kdeira. If a person takes a neder from that which goes into the kdeira, so aser b'yored l'ilfis, then it's aser for him to eat something that goes into a pot, something that's pan fried or pan seared. Why? Shekvar yored l'kdeira, because the derech would be that they would first boil something in the kdeira and then they would fry it in the pan. So if you were taking a neder from something which went into a pot, you're not allowed to eat fried food either, because whatever was fried was already boiled in the pan, in the pot, rather. Sheyored l'ilfis, if you take a nether against something that is going to, that is placed in the pan, menayored l'ilfis, mutter biyored, sheyored l'ilfis, okay, so, Good. So mina yored l'ilfis, if you take a neder from something that is prepared in the pan, that's fried in the pan, mutter b'yored l'kdera, then it's mutter to benefit from something that is yored, mutter to benefit from something which is yored l'kdera, even though ultimately it will go into the pot. So mutter b'yored l'kdera. So mina nase Bikdera, if he takes a nether from something which is finished in a pot, Nasa is a lashon of finished, then mutter benasa bilfis, then it's mutter for him to eat something which is finished in the pan. Benasa bilfis, if he takes a nether from something that's finished in the pan, mutter benasa bikdera, then it's mutter for him to eat something that is prepared, that's finished off in the pot. Hanorder mina yored l'taner, if a person takes a neder from something which is yored l'taner, ein usur elo b'pas, he's usur only in bread, because bread is the prototypical food which is yored l'taner. V'im amar kol ma'aser taner alai, usur b'chla nasa m'taner. But if he says kol ma'aser taner alai, then it's usur for him to eat anything that's made in the taner, whether it be bread or whether it be anything else. So turning over to Nun Aleph Amabez, next Mishnah. So the Mishnah says like this, Mina Kavush, if he says that he's not going to eat from anything that is Kavush, Ha Kavush, Ein Usur Ela Mina Kavush Shel Yerek. It's only Usur for him to eat preserved vegetables. Why? Because the Neder is understood, the Ron says, the Neder is understood to include only the food which is most typically preserved. And the food that's most typically pickled or preserved are vegetables. So, kavush shani toeim, if the guy says, however, kavush shani toeim, then usur b'chala kvushin. Then it is usur for him to eat any type of preserved food, whether it be yerek or otherwise. The Ron says, what's the difference between the first lashon and the second lashon? So, when you read the Mishnah, it's fun. When you read the Mishnah, you're probably drawn to the extra clause of shani toeim. That if the first time you just say mina kavush, and then the second time it's kavush ani toim. The Ran has a second pshat that says, yeah, that's the distinction. The distinction is in the fact that in the second case you say shani toim, and that's what actually makes the nether more broad than in the first case. But the Ran's preferred explanation, the first explanation that the Ran brings down, is that it has nothing to do with the lashon of shani toim. That's just brought down incidentally. What the distinction is between saying ha kavush and kavush. Because when you say ha-kavush, you're using a hey-hayidia. And the hey-hayidia teaches us that the hey-hayidia implies that it's only the preserved items are usur. What's the preserved items? The item that is most commonly preserved, which is vegetables. But if you say kavush without the hey-hayidia, you're not limiting yourself to the primary example of what's preserved. It's anything that's preserved, so both vegetables and anything else that's preserved are going to be usur to you. Similarly, mina shaluk, if you take a nether from something that is undercooked, any usur ela mina shaluk shal basar. It's only usur for you to eat shaluk shal basar, but shaluk shani toeim usur b'chala shlukin. If you say shaluk shani toeim, then it's usur in all types of mine shaluk, all types of undercooked food. Amar le ravacha b'rei de rav avya le ravashi, amar Dikavish mai, dishalik mai, ditsali mai, dimaliach mai, hechamashma. What happens if you use neither of these lashonos? You don't use the lashon with a hey hayadia, so maybe you're not referring to the prototypical, the primary example of the item, but you're also not using just the word. Instead of saying kavush, you're saying dikavush. So does the dalid function as the hey hayadia or not? In order to limit the nether, or do we interpret it as broadly as possible? Tiboy. So we leave it as a kasha. The Ran, like always, when we leave something as a suffix here in Nedarim, because Nedarim are Isurim Daraisa, we are holy Chumrah, we go Lechumra and say that we interpret the neder as broadly as possible. Minatzli, says the next Mishnah Vayter, Minatzli, Ein Asar Ela Minatzli Shal Basar, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Tzli, Shani Toim, Asar B'chala Tzli, and then it's Asar for anything that's roasted. Min Hamaliach, again using the Hey idea, Ein Asar Ela Minamaliach Shal Dog, because a fish is the prototypical example of something which is salted, like a herring. Maliach, Shani Toim, if you use the broader Lashon, then Asar B'chala Meluchin, then it's Asar to eat all types of salted foods. Dogim, Shani Toim, if you use the Lashon of Dog, if you use a lashon of dug, dug in, shani toim, then asur ben bein gedolim bein bektanim. Why? The Ran says that dug connotes a large fish because it's something that's purchased separately. Dugim is something that connotes a small fish because small fish are purchased in bulk. You wouldn't go into a store and purchase a small fish separately. They're sold in bunches. The Rambam says that, yeah, dugim does mean everything, but it's not because dug means big fish and dugim means small fish. It's because this is like hevel avolim or shir hashirim. It's an example of a certain type of usage of a word. But dugim refers to basically all types of this species. So, and it's also both large, big, and small. Bein meluchim, bein tefelin, salted or not salted, bein chayim, bein mefushalim, cooked or not. Umutar betaris, trufa, it's mutar to eat chopped fish. Ubitzir, and it's mutter for him to eat seer, and it's mutter for him to eat the fish innards. Okay, why? Because dugga implies only whole fish, but not chopped up fish. That's why. And the michael of chopped up fish doesn't include the michael of chopped up fish. Doesn't include whole fish, and therefore if he takes a nether from whole fish, it's going to be mutter to eat as Michael. Hanoder min tzachna, if a person takes a nether from tzachna, so what's tzachna? So tzachna is a mixture of small salted fish, most of which are whole, but some of which are chopped. So usur betris trufa, it's usur to eat the chopped up fish, because this Michael includes some fish that are chopped up. Umutar betzir uvamurias, but it's mutter for him to eat the brine and the fish juice, because this Michael doesn't include brine and fish juice. Hanoder mitaris trufa, if a person takes a nether from the chopped up fish Michael, then the girsir is usur, but if you look on the side, it's changed to mutter. The mutter betzir marias, it's mutter to eat brine of fish juice again, because this chopped up fish Michael contains some pieces of chopped up fish, but it doesn't contain these other things. All right, so we're out of time. Again, we had a lot to do today, so we'll pick up here from the Gemara tomorrow. Tomorrow we actually have a much shorter daf, so we'll make up time, and I probably should have. All right, so tomorrow we'll pick up from here. We'll finish this, and then tomorrow's daf tomorrow, God willing.